On the Davidson Sports Network, the Bob McKillop Show is on the air, powered by Ortho Carolina. The Bob McKillop Show is brought to you by Bearings, Innovative Strategies and Solutions, Pepsi, born in the Carolinas, Atrium Health, make every day the best day yet, and by Ortho Carolina, you improved. Now, here's the voice of Davidson basketball, Jared Latch, joining head coach Bob McKillop.
Welcome inside the Vance Athletic Center on the campus of Davidson College. This is the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina. Alongside head coach Bob McKillop, I'm Jared Latch, as we get set to dive into a variety of topics on this, the first of two non-conference shows. And coach, it's glad to be with you.
Delight to be with you, especially after coming off a victory on Saturday night.
Super thankful for that. And a natural place to start this broadcast today, look back at the first couple of games this season. And we're going to start with those first two, and we'll get to the win on Saturday. But the first two, Auburn on a neutral court to open things up, and then the Charlotte 49ers at Halton Arena. Were you surprised at all in terms of the team chemistry that we talked about in those first two setbacks?
You know, I thought that both Charlotte and Auburn were spectacular in the way they defended us, and they instigated, and we retaliated. And as a result, we were on our heels in both games. And when you're on your heels, it leads to you maybe doubting yourself, and we carried that back into the defensive end, and you can't have that transition into defense when you're struggling offensively. You have to forget about it and just go back and play defense, and we did not do that.
Were there other things, Coach, that played a role in those results as well?
I give tremendous credit to both Auburn and Charlotte. I thought their game plans were great. I thought their players executed superbly. We missed shots, and we need to be able to respond when we miss shots defensively.
I want to talk about the atmosphere, the Veterans Classic. You guys have had some great opportunities over the last couple of years to experience some things that are transformative and as far as life. It was just another unique opportunity, wasn't it, for the entire program?
You know, transformative is a great word because it takes our guys from where they are to where they need to get in terms of their growth as human beings and as men. And we've had a number of experiences like that, whether it was Pearl Harbor on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day in Hawaii or Auschwitz or the European trip. Certainly Annapolis is something that is on that list of experiences that's going to make us much more aware of the grand world that's out there.
Is that the biggest thing, Coach, that perspective?
I think so. These young men are trying to become special people in the world that they're going to go out into after their Davidson days, and anything we can do to facilitate that and help that and move them in that direction, that's incumbent upon us to do that. That's our responsibility as educators.
Well, a couple things, Coach, that have been making some noise in the offseason were the expectations. We've touched on that from a national standpoint. You as the head coach, do you enjoy, do you recognize, is there somewhere in between that you filter it out, and how do you deal with that when it comes to your players?
Well, the only expectations we have are the ones that we put upon ourselves. But because of social media and because of the amount of attention our program is getting being in the Atlantic 10, you can't divorce yourself from what's being said, what's being written. And as a result, our guys are bombarded with thoughts and opinions and attitudes. And you're a human being, and it's going to affect you.
So let's look at this past Saturday. You get your first win of the year against Wilmington. We're all familiar with the phase, there's no place like home. That seemed to play out, and that idea was captured in many different areas.
Well, after the way we were knocked to the mat, both at Auburn and Charlotte, not easy to get back up. And as we approached the game, we approached it with the idea that, and I told our players this, I've had 350 so many experiences losing a basketball game, and I'm still alive. And I wanted them to know that, yes, losing is not something that we really enjoy. It's not a pleasurable experience at all, but we can still live beyond that and come back and fight, and that's what we did.
And it's still so early, but how much do you think that win meant to the guys?
What really was gratifying to me was that we kept our foot on the gas, you know, which was an illusion, which elusive for us last year. We'd get leads last year, we're not able to maintain them. This was a good statement about a sense of maturity that is evolving, in which our guys kept their foot on the gas. And I also felt a tremendous sense of joy from the fact that the beginning of the roster to the end of the roster, everyone contributed in some capacity and contributed in a good way. And that last 4 minutes was just wonderful for a coach to see those guys who don't get much playing time to go out there and perform as well as they did.
Let's pick a few guys out of the equation from Saturday in particular. We touched on this after the game. Lee, a freshman, it seemed like he took his game to a new level against the Seahawks in terms of confidence.
Lee has tremendous instincts. No doubt being raised by a mom who's a silver medalist in the 84 Olympics in Los Angeles and a dad who's a 30-year-plus coach has taught him how to play the game, how to see the game, and his instincts are superb. He's also got great skill and a tenacious work ethic. What he's learning is the vernacular of our system, the style of American play. So not only just the language that we use and the communication of that language, but also the techniques and the rapid pace of the game here in the States.
You mentioned his background. That brings up an interesting point. With all the international players you have, and those in the States as well, they figure into this. The fact that they bring a lot of different stories, backgrounds, all into the picture with everyone else.
What a tremendous learning experience for everyone on our team. And I think what a representation of the college that we have guys that are as diverse as they are, not just in terms of their race, but in terms of their nationality, in terms of their religion, in terms of their socioeconomic background.
That takes us into our first break. When we come back, we'll touch on some of the early years of the McKillop era and how things have progressed. This is the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina. Welcome back to the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina. Jared Latch, Bob McKillop, back with you. And, Coach, with this being your 31st season, I wanted to get a few thoughts on the early years and to set up this part of the conversation. Looking back, you know, two of those early years, you guys were still in the Big South. You joined the Southern in 1992-93. A couple of NIT teams followed. Your first NCAA tournament in 97-98. Talk about what you remember from those first few years, how things were progressing, your mindset, et cetera.
You know, I shared a story on the day after the Charlotte game with our players about our move from the Big South to the Southern Conference. We had just lost to Campbell in the Big South, I think quarterfinals or semifinals. It was the third year of my contract here, and we finished that season with a record of 11-17 after having 9-19, 4-24. So a dismal display of success by me as a coach and entering the fourth year of a contract with that kind of a record, and obviously concerned about my future. And after that Campbell game, it was pouring rain, and we drove, Kathy and the three kids and I drove over to watch a game, to watch a prospect play. And as I walked into the gym to watch this prospect play after just a dismal day of rain and losing and the third year of just poor performance, a coach grabs me and says, "How'd you do today?" And I said, "We lost to Campbell." And he said, "And you're going into the Southern Conference? Man, they've got athletes in the Southern Conference." And I tell you what, I almost wanted to walk out of the gym, get in the car, drive back to New York. It was one of the most heart-wrenching experiences to think about what could happen. And a couple of months later, as we went through the spring, that's where the concept of trust, commitment, and care evolved. And that's where I took it upon myself that if we're going to believe in this as our mission statement, that I must be the one that sets the tone for that. And it changed my thinking dramatically. And the next year, we wound up going 14-14. Next year, we win 22 and get to the NIT. So I've got a treasure chest of memories, and boy, they are so vividly etched into my mind.
It's a great story, Coach. Great moment that served as a catalyst moving forward. And then you bring the different players that you've had throughout the years, especially early on. You recall guys, and I know you never compare teams, but just players in themselves. How important, and certain names that stand out to you that you're able to build upon?
You know, you see so many repetitive experiences. Mark Donnelly, one of the great leaders we had in the 90s. Jason Zimmerman, another great leader. Matt Matheny, who did not play a lot of minutes for us, but was one of the great captains we've ever had. You just think about those guys And of course, Brandon Williams and what he did in terms of putting his imprint on our program. And, that's just a couple of names of so many guys who did things for us in the 90s when this culture was established. And I often think about that first 2-3 years that those guys that did not have success, but they worked and put a foundation on this program that has lasted in terms of work ethic and commitment. And I just wish I could have been a better coach for that class of 90 and 91 and 92. And I certainly regret that I could not coach them with the same kind of mentality that I have today.
I think there's some irony, Coach. You mentioned the jump from the Big South to the Southern Conference, being told there were going to be athletes there.
Yeah.
This would happen years later as you go to the A-10, and then the facility upgrades, the physical additions are obvious. But what did that do for the program on and off the court?
And moving to the Southern?
Moving to the A-10.
Moving to the A-10 was something that we welcomed, and we're terrific president, Carol Quillen, she actually wanted us to move to the Big East. And I, of course, welcome that as well. But, the move to the A-10 really put us on a stage that we had been on intermittently in non-conference games and postseason play, but not throughout the season. Not where we were playing with the potential of at-large bids in every game that we competed. That did not exist for us in the Big South or in the Southern.
Did you ever imagine, Coach, that we'd be sitting in the facility we are here at the Vance Athletic Center?
Well, that's a tribute to all the players and all the coaches who were part of this program to build it, but it's also a tribute to the many benefactors and alums who made this happen. For them to put their trust in us, for them to commit to us the way they have, to make this magnificent facility so big time in so many ways, is quite a statement, and is something that I see and experience every day, but something I'll never take for granted.
Coach, I want to change gears for a moment. Look at your assistant coach, Kevin Kuick. He had a neat opportunity as the keynote speaker of the Town of Davidson Veterans Day event a week back.
How proud are we to have him representing us, not only as a basketball coach, but as a father, a husband, and of course, as a veteran of the United States military. And I wish you knew how many people came up to me in various times during the past week and just heaped praise upon Kevin and the way he presented himself and presented our program and being a veteran in his speech, Veterans Day. Tremendous statement about a Renaissance man, a true Renaissance man.
As we look at the A-10 here in the immediacy, the conference last week, they got some big wins against SEC teams. Do you as a staff, amidst all the rest of your responsibilities, the practice, the game planning, do you pay attention to what the Atlantic 10 is doing in the non-conference?
Yes and no. When you lose games, you don't even think about it. You just care about yourself. You're tempted much more to take a gander at what other teams are doing when you actually win a game, which we did on Saturday night. So I did look at Sunday what was happening in the Atlantic 10, but up to that point I had not really noticed too much. And that was primarily because you're so consumed with your own preparation and your own focus, and you cannot get distracted or expend any energy looking at what other teams are doing and where that's going to impact you as you get into January and February and March. So I try to be as narrow a focus as possible once we're playing a team like Nevada tomorrow night.
Now, talking about previous coaches, now you mentioned Jason Zimmerman's name as you were looking back in those early 90s. Him and Landry Kosmalski have top 10 teams at the Division III level. There's other coaches that have been with you that are with other programs. Do you keep up with those guys?
I certainly do. It's not a once a month, once every 2 month kind of interaction. There's quite extensive contact between Matt Matheny, Jim Fox, Landry Kosmalski, Tim Sweeney, Jason Zimmerman, Duga Balcom, Billy Armstrong, Billy Tom, the number of guys that I'm missing, some I'm certain, that are out there coaching and representing Davidson and doing great jobs as coaches.
I know, Coach, you're always one to extend credit to your current staff. Talk about them for a moment, who you have in place.
You know, I woke up this morning and I said I need to send them all a thank you note for what they've done in terms of putting us in a position of preparation as we've been in this first 2 weeks of the season, because they've been extraordinary. We've added Josh to the lineup, and he's seamlessly moved into his position so very well. But that's only because he's been led by a group of assistants who have been here and guys who have played here who have taught him the ropes. And to see our guys become better coaches as a result of their experience here is what my responsibility is. And I see my responsibility as training them to be head coaches, and they're all moving in that direction very, very fluidly.
Well, that brings us to another quick break. When we return, we'll look ahead at the upcoming week as we preview games against Nevada and Wake Forest as the Bob McKillop Show rolls on, powered by Ortho Carolina. Welcome back to Davidson College. Jared Latch alongside Bob McKillop, head coach of the Wildcats, and it's time to take a look ahead at the two games on the schedule this week. And, Coach, you guys have a nice home matchup tomorrow night. Nevada comes to town. It's a team with a lot of postseason experience, despite losing some key veterans, the Martin twins, and some others. What are you guys preparing to see from the Wolfpack tomorrow night?
Terrific opportunity for our fans to see an outstanding team from the Mountain West Conference and a team coming across this country to play us. We went out there 2 years ago, had a very hard-fought game, and they won the game at the end, and they managed to then advance to the tournament. And last year, they were top 10 for a good part of the year. You're going to see a team that's very balanced with their scoring. They have a deep rotation of 9-10 guys with great versatility. They're going to play guys at two, three different spots. They're big. They have four bigs that are very, very good and very, very relentless on the glass and defensively. And they're willing to shoot the three. So you're going to see a team that's going to come in here and fire threes. And they have a guy on the team named Jazz Johnson who kind of reminds us of Carson Edwards, a terrific player for Purdue, who's now, I think, in the NBA. And Jazz Johnson is, he's a guy that's leading them in scoring, and, boy, he can really fill it up.
So how much of a test will they provide for the Wildcats' defense? What will you need to do? What will you see from them offensively? You mentioned a lot of three balls should go up.
Well, they're going to certainly be able to penetrate us. Their point guard gets the ball up the court very, very quickly. His name is Lindsey Drew, and I think he's been there 3-4 years. And he's a one-man fast break. So their ability to shoot the three, their ability to push the ball so aggressively and deflate our defense could create transition baskets that we have to be very mindful of. And then, as I said, with their bigs, they really do a great job of relentlessly crashing the glass.
So who are some of those other players that we should be on the lookout for?
The backcourt is headed by Lindsey Drew and Jazz Johnson. Robbie Robinson and John Carlos Rees are very, very big front court players. Jalen Harris and I think the guy's name is Zuzua are terrific at interchanging between the front court and the back court. And then they got these three young guys, Zane Meeks, K.J. Himes, and Kane Milling, who, I mean, they're pretty darn good recruits, and they're playing very well also.
After tomorrow, it doesn't get easier on this non-conference schedule. That's purpose behind who you guys scheduled. You get Wake Forest on Friday night. They lost to Charlotte yesterday. Talk about Wake a little bit.
I can't.
I was wondering about that.
I'm focused on Nevada right now, and I saw the score last night, overtime victory for Charlotte, but I just can't even think about Wake with Nevada breathing on us right now and playing that game tomorrow night. There's no opportunity to think about anything but Nevada.
Well, let's throw out a general question then surrounding the Wake game, but not directly associated with it. The value of playing in Uptown Charlotte at Spectrum Center.
We welcome every chance we can to play at the Spectrum Center. It's been a long, long history in my tenure here. But, of course, we go back to the glory years of the 1960s when almost every home game was played at what was then Charlotte Coliseum, 11,600 people, and the magnificent years at the Fred Hetzels, Dick Snyder's, Jerry Kroll's, Wayne Huckles, Dave Mosier's, Mike O'Neill's, all of those guys, just tremendous performers in the 60s, and that's why they call it the glory years.
In general, opponents, knowing Wake's an ACC team, you have an SEC team later in the year with Vanderbilt. What does that say, that you guys are able to schedule teams for major conferences?
Well, it's a credit to both Matt McKillop and Chris Clooney, who are instrumental in securing those kind of games, and particularly difficult in this environment today when most conferences are going to 20 games, so it cuts back on two normal non-conference games because most teams have been playing an 18-game conference schedule. And tremendous connections that Chris Clooney brings to us from his days in the NBA, and Matt's been doing this a long, long time, and Matt Matheny, who and Jim Fox, who had done it before him, passed a torch to them. It was burning bright, and Matt's picked it up and done a great job with it.
So with this non-conference schedule being as tough as it is, do you guys ever feel the weight of needing to correct immediately because the opponents, the bar is pretty high?
Well, we certainly make a statement to our school and to our fans and to our players that look, we're on a big stage, and we want to stay on a big stage. And it demonstrates our own staff confidence in our players that we're willing to schedule this kind of challenging schedule. And I think it came out that we had the fifth toughest schedule, non-conference schedule in the country, and that's a pretty big statement to make. And let's face it, Auburn and Charlotte exposed us. They did some things to us that we couldn't expose ourselves to in practice, and that can only make us better if we pay attention. And I think our guys are the kind of guys who work every day to pay attention and get better.
Well, Coach, I appreciate your time as always. Enjoyed it.
Terrific to be with you, Jad. First time out. Let's have fun the rest of the year with this.
Absolutely. We're going to take one final timeout. When we come back, we'll have more information on the next broadcast and when you can expect our next show. This is the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina. Welcome back to Davidson College as we get set to wrap up the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina. I'm Jared Latch. As we look ahead, we mentioned Nevada tomorrow night, 7 o'clock tip time. Then Wake Forest on Friday. That's a 7:30 game at Spectrum Center in Uptown Charlotte. And then it's off to Orlando over Thanksgiving, a Thursday game on Thanksgiving against Marquette. We'll see some good players in that matchup. And then Davidson will get the winner of USC and Fairfield in Orlando. That's on Friday, November 29th, and then a game to be determined on December 1st. And as you look down that schedule, it doesn't get much easier. There's a game at Northeastern December 7th, and then a couple other games later on in December to wrap up the year at Loyola Chicago and at Vanderbilt. We want to remind you that you can join us for our next broadcast again tomorrow, Tuesday, November 19th at 6:45 on the Davidson Radio Network as the Wildcats return to Belk Arena to host Nevada. That game will be carried on ESPN 730, the game Charlotte, WGNC 1450 and 101.FM Charlotte and Gastonia, WHIP 1350 AM 99.3 FM Mooresville. Our next coach's show, that'll come your way on Monday, December 9th at noon on the Davidson Radio Network before beginning our weekly schedule on January 6th throughout A-10 play. And once the Cats get into A-10 play, they'll open things up on January the 5th with a trip to Pittsburgh against Duquesne, followed by a road game against Rhode Island. So for Bob McKillop, I'm Jared Latch. Have a great rest of the day, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina. The Bob McKillop Show has been brought to you by Bearings, innovative strategies and solutions. Pepsi, born in the Carolinas. Atrium Health, make every day the best day yet. And by Ortho Carolina, you improved. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Davidson Sports Network.